Welcome to The Goal is Whole. New creation studies you can apply daily to live complete in Christ. Series 5, focus on destiny. Empower others. Study E6, growth secrets.
In this final study, we'll turn to a vital parable Jesus told to help us understand his purpose in the expansion of his kingdom and principles of fruitfulness. We're just going to look at this one main passage really today in Mark 4, right through verse 3 to 20. I'm going to read it all here. Behold, the sower went out to sow. This is the parable of the sower. And as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. In a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. And then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil. They hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Well, needless to say, the parable of the sower is crucial. The picture is of a farmer sowing seed on different types of soil. The results of the planting are very varied, ranging from zero fruitfulness right up to 30, 60, or even 100-fold return. That is real multiplication. Some have got too caught up in translating this as the quality of soil from the first part of the parable, rather than the way Jesus explained it. It's not really about the quality of the soil. It's much more to do with the quality of nurture and response in someone that's hearing the word than it is about quality of soil. When someone receives Christ, they're made a new creation, and it's a level playing field at that point. But what determines the level of growth is how things proceed from there. And that's why having a vibrant new creation community to welcome them is so important. Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7 says, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude." Fruitfulness is dependent on the extent to which we will walk in him. So these are the things we need to look out for in this parable. In the first group, Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown. How crucial this is. It applies to individuals for sure. But also, I think it applies with our vision here of looking to multiply ins. Matthew's gospel is more specific in saying, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what's been sown in his heart." Lack of understanding is the problem here. So when a group that's looking to form doesn't fully understand the process or the word of the kingdom, they can so easily get drawn back into traditions and typical small group activities and completely drop the new creation realities that we seek to carry in the InVision. This will definitely stunt the growth and thwart multiplication, as well as diluting the quality of the community life. that the group experiences. Make no mistakes here. Satan opposes what we seek to do. We need to be wise to this and cover all new implants in prayer, resisting the enemy, resisting Satan on behalf of the new group that's being formed. In addition, we need to be available to discuss and interact, helping everyone understand clearly, especially those who have only recently received Jesus. The next group, when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And this really builds on the last point. Again, we see the enemy often involved here when something new is happening that is a threat to him. Could be a person that's just come into the faith, but even with the forming of groups again, that he stirs up trouble and persecution to cause discouragement and disunity and the breaking apart of what's being started. The next group, the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. This is a big one. Our modern world is very busy and complex and demanding. There's no doubt at all that distractions of lifestyle will greatly impact levels of fruitfulness. Let's encourage those who are planting to be realistic about what they can commit to, and also make lifestyle adjustments when necessary to enable them to embrace the calling of the Holy Spirit to co-work with him in the plan of multiplication. Life burdens, getting drawn away in money-making schemes and careers, and allowing the desire for other things to take hold will all choke the growth, sometimes completely. It's so damaging and it is such a big threat. But then the final group, they hear the word, they accept it, they bear fruit 30, 60 and 100 fold. The fruitful ones are simply stated as those who hear the word, accept it and produce fruit of various levels. This is the person or the group that takes time to embrace the life of Jesus and what he's saying in the midst. More than that, they accept it. And the word used there means to actively take something, to take hold of it, not just passively receive it. And this really, I think, reveals the real root here. Fruitfulness doesn't just happen by chance. It doesn't just happen as you sit around and wait for it to manifest. Nominally receiving something isn't the path to fruitfulness. The fruitful person or group is one that actively goes after the things of the kingdom, looking to take hold of the fullness, pushing for growth and fruitfulness. This is not human effort, but rather actively and intentionally taking hold of the kingdom, aligning fully with the purpose and ways of Jesus and becoming zealous channels of his life. Jesus said, Matthew 11:19, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and violent men take it by force. This, of course, is not human physical violence. It's an attitude of heart, of determination, of going after the kingdom. So now, with all that we're doing, we need to read and understand all this in a group context. It's not just an individual coming to a place of understanding and actively accepting the word, although of course that is vital. But in terms of in multiplying, this is a group thing, an issue of unity. It's so crucial. It's better to work through things more slowly if needed, and maybe engage one or two experienced mentors to help steer a new group into fruitfulness together. Because lack of unity in the group is a major stumbling block to fruitfulness. And that's why the vision champions so strongly the principle of shared discernment and our process of planting through the incubate forming track. The goal is for the group to gel around the word of the kingdom that Jesus is speaking specifically to this group. So sometimes there may be one or more group members that just feel out of sync with what the rest of the group seems to be receiving. And maturity sometimes would call for those ones to possibly be released and nurtured into a different group. This is obviously a matter of discernment and prayer, where everyone pulls together to get understanding of what the Holy Spirit is actually saying in an attitude of peace and harmony. The church that Jesus is building is not a rigid organization, but a thriving organism. So the most fundamental of all values that is so essential for fruitfulness is the willingness to stay yielded to Jesus together, looking for his direction, and then actively taking hold of that. There's no striving in fruit bearing because fruit comes from abiding in Jesus. Fruit manifests through us staying calmly in union with him, but staying in the place of abiding can sometimes be a fight, and we need to be ready and equipped to help those that we nurture succeed all the way in this, right into abundant fruitfulness.
The goal is whole. New creation studies you can apply daily to live complete in Christ.